Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. In the ever-changing world of film, time can be malleable. So this week, I'm looking at three movies that examine time. There's a Spanish drama about a director reclaiming his past, a YA drama about a teen who can see into the future, and a documentary about present-day problems of indigenous special needs kids. Anthem of a Teenage Prophet, directed by Robin Hayes. It's 1997 in small town Stokum, Michigan. Luke, played by Cameron Monaghan, is a high schooler in a small town who's into skating, music, and art. He lives with his straight-laced father and flaky mom, played by Juliette Lewis. He used to climb towers with the tall and wiry Fang, played by Grayson Gabriel, his best friend since kindergarten, but they had a falling out. Now Luke's hanging with Stan, a popular b-ball jock, and Stan's girlfriend Faith, played by Peyton List. But everything changes when he follows Stan to a party at Fang's place. And after lots of drinking and smoking drugs, Luke has a vision. Someone will be killed in the morning in a hit-and-run accident just outside their school. They all dismiss it as a stoner's daydream, but record it on video just for fun. But sure enough, best friend Stan winds up dead exactly as predicted. Eyewitness News picks up the story, and soon there are media trucks parked on Luke's front lawn. He's stared at school and somehow blamed for Stan's death. How come he didn't stop it? Only Faith, Stan's girlfriend, stands up for him. Will his prophetic dreams continue? Can he use it to save other people from dying? Are Faith and Luke just mourning Stan, or is there something more between them? And what happened between Luke and Fang that soured their relationship? And will they ever make up? Anthem of a Teenage Prophet is based on a popular YA novel, and it keeps many of the standard features in that kind of book. Rudderless youth, looking for meaning, potential love story, friendship, bullying, prejudice, and a hint of the supernatural. And it's set in the late 90s, a world of Thrasher, Mortal Kombat, white rap, and ironic t-shirts. Beautiful scenery. It was actually shot in BC. A nice soundtrack and good acting. Anthem is a good, though not perfect, teenage movie. Jordan River Anderson, The Messenger, directed by Alanis Obamsawin. Norway House is a beautiful Cree community in northern Manitoba, but due to pregnancy complications, little Jordan River Anderson is born in a Winnipeg Children's Hospital. There, he receives constant attention from doctors, therapists, and experts, helping the boy communicate and helping him understand what's going on around him. He's partially paralyzed, can't speak, and breathes using a respirator. But he can only spend limited time with his parents and family because he needs constant care. Most special needs kids are eventually sent from the hospital to the parents' home or to a halfway house with caregivers near to where the family lives. But Jordan never leaves the hospital. He ends up dying there. Neither the province nor the federal government puts up the money it requires for the move, care, and refurbishing of a home to take care of him. Why? Because he's Indigenous. Enter Cindy Blackstock, a lawyer and social worker specializing in Indigenous cases. She crafts a bill called the Jordan Principle to ensure that no child will be left unfunded due to intergovernmental disputes. It passes unanimously in the House of Commons. Jordan's principle says a child in need will be cared for by the first level of government contacted. So everything's fixed. Everything's good, right? Unfortunately, no. Not a single kid since then has been helped due to its passage. The government budgets the funds to fight Jordan's principal in court, but they don't add any money to its budget to pay for the care for special needs Indigenous kids. This lets you know what the situation is now. So Jordan River Anderson, The Messenger, is the sixth in a series of documentaries by Alanis Obomsawin outlining the struggles faced between First Nations and the Canadian government since the founding of this country. This one follows Blackstock's legal battles again, along with the very personal stories captured in photos and home videos by Jordan and other Indigenous families with special needs kids. This is a one-hour documentary, deals with a heartbreaking, very important story, and one that ends on a hopeful note. So it's not depressing. Pain and Glory, written and directed by Pedro Almodovar. Okay, it's present-day Madrid. Salvador, played by Antonio Banderas, is a celebrated Spanish director at the peak of his career. He's looking back at his old notebooks and letters and photos, taking stock of his life. And he finds his life miserable. His body is failing him. His creative well has gone dry. No sex, no love, no partner, no pleasure aside from swimming laps. But as he looks back at his life, two periods come back to him. As a child, he lives with his mother, Penelope Cruz, played by Penelope Cruz, who takes in laundry, and his dad. They're forced to make their home in whitewashed caves underground. But young Salvador, played by Asier Flores, is a precocious lad singled out for his talent by a priest at his school. He teaches, later, a handsome teenage bricklayer named Eduardo, played by Cesar Vicente, how to read and write. In return, he poses for a painting by Eduardo. So little Salvador idolizes the older Eduardo, but doesn't understand his feelings. With his parents now dead, what remains from that period of his childhood? The other period he reflects on is making his first movie in the early 1980s. It's being shown at the Cinemateca in Madrid, and they ask him to appear alongside that film's lead actor, Alberto, played by Asier Etxeandia. The problem is Alberto is a heroin addict. He hates Salvador's guts, and they actually haven't spoken to each other since the movie, more than 30 years earlier. What was that scandal that led to such a long-lasting grudge? Can it be mended? And what is the missing piece in that puzzle? Okay, Pain and Glory is a fantastic and fascinating autobiographical film by Pedro Almodovar. It's ostensibly fictional. The names have all been changed. None of the characters is called Almodovar or anything else, but it's clearly based on his life. It plays with time, character, and genre, flashing back and forth to earlier periods and repeating short scenes, but with subtle differences. There's a lot to observe in this movie. It starts with Salvador writing a book, but somewhere during the movie, it secretly turns into him crafting a film, leaving the viewer to piece it together, although it sort of comes together at the end. No spoilers here. Lush and colorful, moving and funny, Pain and Glory is an intricate recreation of Almodovar's own life and work. I recommend this movie. Pain and Glory starts today in Toronto, and Anthem of a Teenage Prophet starts next Friday. Check your local listings. And Jordan River Anderson, The Messenger, is one of many great movies playing at Imagine Native through this Sunday. This is Daniel Garber, the movies each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.